Welcome to Perspectives. I'm Joan Herman. My guest today is Sue Farmer, who for the past 11 months has served as the interim director of The Harbor, a nonprofit organization based in Astoria, providing aid to survivors of sexual and domestic violence and stalking. Established in 1976 and formerly known as the Women's Resource Center, The Harbor now serves men, women, and teens over the age of 15 in Clatsop County and the surrounding areas. Its services include conducting initial interviews with clients to assess risk, offering medical and legal advocacy, and providing emergency shelter when needed. When Farmer took over the top post at The Harbor last September, the organization had experienced some upheaval with the departure of two directors in just 4 years following the retirement of long-term director Pat Burness. Farmer, who served as the Harbor's board chairperson before being appointed interim director, previously worked for Clatsop County Human Resources, the Warrenton-Hammond School District, and the City of Astoria. This program was pre-recorded. Welcome to the studio, Sue.
Thank you, Joan. It's a pleasure to be here.
As I mentioned in the show intro, the Harbor has experienced some turnover in directors since longtime director Pat Burness left. What is the state of the organization today?
Well, I think that we are finally coming to a stabilizing point, and we are gaining ground once again. After the first year's kind of a figure out what you're going to do year, because I've never worked for a nonprofit and with grants and things like that. But it's all coming together, and I see a bright, happy future for the Harbor as far as stability. And I plan to be there for a while. I will just be there as interim, however, until we are able to find a suitable replacement for myself and to make sure that we're on stable ground.
Is the organization looking now for a permanent director?
I think that actually we are always have our eyes open for one if we find a suitable one. Yes.
But you're not, the board isn't actively seeking one?
No, we are not actively seeking one at this time. I think that the Department of Justice and Department of Human Services, we're looking for some stability. And our board is dedicated to stability. And I would like, they would like to see me and the board as well stay intact for a few years.
Tell me about the services the Harbor provides beyond what I just briefly mentioned.
Well, the Harbor provides crisis intervention. We have the 24-hour helpline, and then we have our domestic sexual assault response team, which is on call 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. That's where we respond to emergencies in the entire county. We go out to Arch Cape at 1 o'clock in the morning. We drive survivors to the Kelso train station during the worst ice and snowstorm of the year. Those are the kinds of things that the DSART does. We respond to sexual assaults to either Columbia Memorial Hospital or Providence Hospital.
In Seaside,
yeah.
I want to stop you for just a second, sure. If I may. Who's on the sexual assault response team?
Well, several of our advocates that work during the week are on call. Actually, it's a, then this could really tie into the volunteer opportunities, but it's not a volunteer. The DSARTs are paid $12 an hour, which isn't great, but you're on call. So you get paid for the first 4 hours of on call. And if you go out and if you are working longer than 4 hours, then you would get paid more than that. But it's just kind of a part-time job for some people.
And what did you call them?
The DSART, the Domestic Sexual Assault Response Team.
Okay, so these are paid positions?
Those are paid positions. Okay. Our crisis line volunteers are not paid.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And continue, I interrupted
you. Oh, no, you're fine. But yeah, we do the individual case management, as you said, and we have two groups going on right now. We have the HEART group, which is the Helping End Abusive Relationship Tendencies. It's an open group who we have instructors who help people who are currently experiencing domestic violence, and the emphasis is on development of positive coping skills and seeking support networks in the community.
So it's a support group.
Mm-hmm. And then the Survivor Circle, Trauma Recovery and Empowerment Model, peer support group is structured for survivors of intimate partner violence, sexual assault, and other traumas. So that's that one.
Okay.
And we are also actively considering a girls' circle for teenage girls, because we have we are really working on building up a prevention for intimate partner violence for teens, and our sexual assault response, our sexual assault advocate will be heading that, and we'll be reaching out to schools throughout the year and Tongue Point Job Corps and Clatsop Community College.
So going directly into the schools and talking about the program?
Yes, we actually had a grant through Safer Futures with Department of Justice, and so that was grant funded, but that is a piece of it that we are going to continue. And we've got a little grant from Warrenton High School Omnicare. And so we're looking at more grant funding for that program to get in the high schools, because it's been very successful in this last year.
Good. Yeah.
And the advocates also do legal and court advocacy and financial assistance when funds are available. As an emergency sheltering, right now we have scattered sheltering throughout the community. Helping Hands is a wonderful resource, and several motels in the area have been very generous. We do have a safe house that has been remodeled after it was kind of destroyed by the previous tenants who were there in a transition house scene, you know, scenario type thing where they were in just transition. And so, but it's ready to go. And so what we're really going to be focusing on as well is funding for this safe house.
So this is the one that you've had already, or will this be a new one?
Well, this is not a new one. It's not the Pioneer House was sold, the one on Bond Street, and then there was another rental house, and that money was taken and used for the Van Dusen building to help put start the remodel on that building, which we are selling.
And that's the building that the Poole family, who owned Pig and Pancake, donated to the organization.
Yeah.
So you decided it made more sense to go ahead and sell it and have something in your bank account to draw grants on.
Yeah, it's been a pretty difficult last few years since I think we took on that project. But and in this last year since I've been there, I have looked at every which way to try to get us into maybe the first floor or something to ease our rent obligations. But it's just not happening. So it's just not something that the harbor, it's not part of our core services, and I'm not a property manager, so yeah.
So you will be putting it on the market.
Yes, it is actually. We have an interested buyer.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
Okay. If anyone listening needs help or thinks they might be appropriate for one of the support groups or would like to inquire more, how would they find out about them?
Well, they can go to our website at www.harbornw.org, or they can also, and all of our phone numbers are there, but if they are in crisis, they need to call at 503-325-5735, which is a 24-hour crisis line.
Okay. And how are the volunteers trained that answer that line?
The volunteers, we have a 40-hour advocacy course, which is online. You come to the harbor, you fill out a volunteer form, we do a background check on you, and then our volunteer coordinator will set you up for the 40-hour training.
Okay. And do you charge for your services?
No. No, it's all grant-funded and foundations and donors and fundraising.
So somebody who needed help wouldn't have to worry about having the money to pay for it?
No.
Okay. Yeah. How common is the problem of domestic and sexual violence in our community?
Well, I have statistics here from 2016, which shows total clients served as 1,433 clients.
In 1 year?
In 1 year.
And those are different people?
Yeah. What bothers me most, I think, about this number is the fact that 727 of these people were never seen ever before 2016. So these are new clients coming to us for help. And of course, we We have females and males. Most of them are female, which is 1,241. But there were 192 men who showed up at the harbor this last year. I know there was one last week. We had, I know, 7 in December. I remember them talking about. I mean, so we generally have men who come in every month.
So 1,400 plus people in a county of 38,000.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds like a lot.
It is a lot. Yeah.
And are these generally one-time events? Or are they chronic
well,
events?
You know, it depends. I mean, sometimes we're able to help somebody. I remember one individual who we assisted getting them back to their family. And so they took it from there. But so that was probably a one-time event because they moved out of the community. But lots of times we do see people multiple times. The statistic is it takes like 9 to 12 times for a person to leave their abuse victim or their abuser.
And why is that?
Well, you know, it's a power and control thing. And what happens is it's the cycle of violence, and you know, you get into a situation where you're with a person who is into power and control, and things get tense, and then they get active where maybe they hit you or whatever, and then they're so sorry, and then you go into the honeymoon period where there's that person that you married and you fell in love with, and they're wonderful and they're so sorry, and they send you flowers and, you know, are so wonderful to you. And then the tension builds back up. And so, and actually it could be years in between, but it's still, that's, I think that it's hard for women to leave, or men maybe because they do have that honeymoon period where that person is that person again. And also a lot of times financial reasons, financial control is another power piece that people play on each other, that, you know, keep the credit cards, keep the money, and mm-hmm. yeah, keep you in control.
Do you see such violence occurring more often in families living in poverty due to the stress of that, or does it affect all social classes?
Oh, no. We've seen business people. We've seen highly educated people. We've seen all kinds of people. It's just people who are in a relationship where somebody is hurting them and they need help. Yeah. And that can be in any socioeconomic situation.
If somebody listening thinks they may need help, but they're not sure, what are some questions they could ask themselves to know? Or what would you recommend they do?
You know, if they just have little bickering fights, you know, like, you know, kind of in a bad mood and, you know, saying, you know, being mean to each other, well, that's, you know, just little bickering things. But if somebody grabs you by the arm, or if somebody slaps you or hits you, or if somebody is verbally abusive to the point where you have lost all self-confidence in yourself whatsoever, if you see a change in your personality, if they keep you from your friends, if they start, you know, keeping the finances away from you where that you are totally dependent on them, yeah, you need to seek help.
Okay. If you're just joining me, you are listening to a pre-recorded interview with Sue Farmer, who for the past 11 months has served as the interim director of The Harbor, a nonprofit Astoria-based organization providing aid to survivors of sexual and domestic violence and stalking on the North Coast. I'm Joan Herman on Perspectives on Coast Community Radio. If somebody calls into your office and says, I think I'm being abused, what happens next? What's the process they would go through?
Well, they would. We would have them come in and speak to an advocate, and she would assess their situation, and she would, if it was a domestic, you know, considered a domestic or violence, then they would make a safety plan for them and talk to them about their options.
If they are afraid that their partner may find out, how do you protect them in that situation? It is a small community, and word gets around.
It does, and I do understand that. And we have had people, women, tell us that they can't come here because people might see them, and that's the sad part of it. But I think, I mean, we are definitely, you know, we have confidentiality and privilege. And so if they don't sign a release, we can't really talk about their case to anyone, including district attorney's office and other sources like that.
Since you mentioned the district attorney's office, how responsive are the local justice people in the community, police and the prosecutors?
Right. And I believe that we have a very good relationship with the police chiefs, police departments. The district attorney's office is phenomenal. We support each other very well, and the local hospitals and schools, you know, make referrals to us if they see problems within a family or a situation. And my plan is, because we've had some turnover in staff, I plan to, in August, hopefully, or September, get together with the each police chief and go over our memorandums of understanding, get those updated, have them meet all of our new advocates, and kind of get on a new page with everybody.
I noticed your organization doesn't serve children under 15. Why is that, and what happens to them?
Well, I'm not sure, actually, why we don't serve under 15, but myself, I'm sure that others would know. But children who are abused who are under 15 then would be taken care of by DHS.
So they would be referred to the state
DHS.
Agency.
If it's sexual assault, they'll go to the Lighthouse. Yeah.
Okay. And is that a shelter for children?
No, it's an assessment.
Center. Right. How hard is it for a survivor to break the cycle of violence? So even if they leave an abusive partner, they might get into another relationship with the same situation happening again.
Right. And my personal advice is to seek counseling and figure out why you choose the type of person that you do, and work on that, because it's kind of like I've read that people marry people who remind them of their mom, their dad, or whatever that they're familiar with. So that's what you kind of, because you're familiar with the abuse and you're familiar with that, you kind of gravitate toward it. It takes some work on the victim's part to and self-determination to make a change and to want that change.
Okay. So if somebody couldn't afford counseling but knew that they needed it to break that cycle of violence, how is there any counseling available for them in the community?
Well, we are not counselors, and we do have a group. Choices Group has been very helpful in helping, survivors. But I think just going to group and talking with other women who are survivors and who have broken the cycle is very helpful.
So the support group offered mm-hmm. through the Harbor?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And would you mention the number again that people can call if they think they may need help or aren't sure?
Okay. Our crisis line is 503-325-5735. And if you're interested in the groups, you can call 503-325-3426.
And this information is also available on your website, The Harbor, which I found easily just by Googling The Harbor Astoria.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Do you need volunteers? And if so, in what capacities?
Okay, yes, we do. We would love to have more volunteers. With the turnover in staff, a lot of times volunteers are attached to a staff person. And we have lost a lot of volunteers. So, yeah, we do in the Deja Vu thrift store to help our store manager, who's doing a great job. And also we need crisis line volunteers and our DSART paid
volunteers. And mention again what the DSART people are.
The Domestic Sexual Assault Response Team that is on call 24 hours a day.
Okay. So if somebody wanted to get involved, should they just call? Or
yeah, I would have them call that 503-325-3426 and ask to speak to our volunteer coordinator.
So I know you have a number of paid staff, something like 10?
Oh, we have about probably 8 right now.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that takes a lot of money. How is the organization funded?
Well, the organization is funded through grants from Department of Justice and Department of Human Services, and also through each of the cities, City of Astoria, Seaside, and Cannon Beach are all very helpful with funding for our DSART program.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And but it's not enough to cover the budget, so we do need donors. What I would really like to see, and actually our board is working on a foundation, but what we really need is financial support from the community and people willing to make long-term commitments to the financial stability of the agency.
So giving monthly or?
Yes, we have a few of those, but not very many, just a handful.
Okay.
Yeah.
How do you raise money during the year?
Well, we had just had our soup bowl, which was extremely successful. The community really came out and showed tremendous support, which I'm very thankful for.
And explain what that is.
Well, the soup bowl is where Richard Rowland and his Dragon Kiln Potters get together and make bowls for not only our resource center, but also Tillamook. And we have soup bowl where local restaurants will donate soup and salads and appetizers and desserts, and everybody picks out their bowl, and then they can have their soup. And Betsy Johnson is usually there, and she's a wonderful supporter. State Representative Betsy Johnson, yes. And then we have a silent auction, and it turned out, and we had a Mindy Stokes, who is a board member as well as a Clatsop Community College women's studies instructor, was our guest speaker this year.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and how much were you able to raise from that event?
Oh, I believe it was very close to $30,000 this year.
In one night?
Yeah.
That's pretty impressive for a small town.
Yes, it was, and I'm just ever grateful.
So I'd like to know a little bit more about the Safe House. Obviously, you won't tell me the location, and I don't want to know it, but where is it, generally speaking?
In Astoria.
That's specific enough. And I know you had a safe house a number of years ago. Is it the same one?
No.
Okay. And will this house just women, or?
Yes, it will be a house just for women.
Women, yes. Oh, children as well?
And children, yes. We can probably serve up to 15.
And when do you hope to have that ready to be?
Well, it depends on what kind of grants or foundation funding we might be able to get with it between now and maybe the first of the year. So I'm going to really look hard at seeing if we can maybe get this operating by January 1st. If that doesn't come available, then we'll try the next 6 months to see what grants are available and things like that, because we have some justice reinvestment money that we will be using to help pay for that. And you do need to have a manager there. So yeah, that's what we're hoping to do. And also I was thinking, just wild thinking, that possibly doing a drive where maybe people could support or buy a room or something like that to furnish a room.
Do you need to raise much money to refurbish it?
I haven't really put the pencil to that yet, but I'm sure, yeah, just think about if you go into your own home, there's a bedroom, how much would it cost to to furnish that? Yeah.
And how long would women and their children be able to stay in the house?
Generally, they stay up to about 3 months.
And what services are they receiving in addition to the housing?
Well, they will get advocacy services and group services where they can go into groups. And so I'm not sure exactly how that will look. We're going to be getting a new advocate who has had experience in Corvallis. She worked in a shelter for 3 years. So I'm really anxiously looking forward to having her on board and noodling that with her and coming up with a plan.
Okay.
Yeah. And also, we would really appreciate if anybody has a used leather couch, love seat type of furniture. Leather furniture would probably be best for the living room area of the safe house. So if anybody has one that they are thinking about getting rid of but still in a really good condition and they just wanted to change out their couch, love seat or chairs, if they could give us a call regarding that, that would be awesome.
Well, that's good to know. You mentioned you might have some other events coming up that you wanted to publicize.
Yes, we're going to be having, Fort George is so generous. And so they do a benefit night for the nonprofits in the community. And so we're having our Fort George benefit on Tuesday, August 29th, and there will be a silent auction there. And of course, our community businesses and are so generous. So, and then also, I did want to remind everybody that Domestic Violence Awareness Month will be October. And so Saturday, October 7th, is going to be the Domestic Violence Healthy Homes Walk Run. And it's going to be the 16th this year.
Okay. And those should be publicized in the newspaper and on your website, I imagine?
Yes, they will be.
Okay. Well, unfortunately, we are out of time. I want to thank my guest, Sue Farmer, who is the interim director of The Harbor, the nonprofit organization providing aid to survivors of domestic and sexual violence and stalking on the North Coast. Thank you so much, Sue.
It was a pleasure to be here. Thank you, Joan.
Established in 1976 and formerly called the Women's Resource Center, The Harbor now serves men, women, and teens over the age of 15 in Clatsop County and the surrounding areas. It provides initial interviews with clients to assess risk, offers medical and legal advocacy, and provides emergency shelter when needed, among the many services the organization offers. This is Perspectives, and I'm your host, Joan Herman. Perspectives was engineered today by Graham Nystrom. The show can be heard every other Friday on the stations of Coast Community Radio. You also can find show podcasts on the station's website. If you have an idea for a show or would like to contact me, you can reach me at perspectives@coastradio.org. Thanks for listening.